Welcome to ITIL Concepts and Terminology lesson brought to you by Nestori Synima. Okay, so let's start with some definitions. First, and the most important one is, what is service? So service is means of delivering value to customers, and in that way that customer doesn't have to own that service or anything that is required to produce that service. For instance, taxi service. If you are using taxi or cab or Uber, you don't have to own the car, you just use the service. And the service provider, of course, is the organization who is supplying these services to one or more internal or external customers. So that's actually quite good point to remember, that customers are not only external ones, so they can be only internal customers. Okay, speaking about customers, let's go to stakeholders. And this is how ITIL defines different stakeholders. So they are customers who are actually buying goods or services. So that is the stakeholder who is actually paying for the services. So it is, well, if we are service providers, that is usually our customer who orders from us, who makes the deal with us, who defines what we want, and so on. And then the users are those who are using or consuming those services, or they are requesting new services. And they are doing those inside that customer, so to speak, meaning that if our customer makes a deal that, okay, this is we are going to provide them, let's say, service tech services, we make an agreement with that customer. And then that customer's own employees are using those services. And providers are, of course, those who are kind of enabling our services if we are service providers. So they are providing us services so that we can provide our services. Okay, so what kind of services customers or users actually need? We can say that there are three types of services, and these are all the services which are available are listed or listed and described in service catalog. So what users want? First they want that if they need help, we provide them help, we provide instructions. For instance, where can I reset my password? They might they might want new things. Okay, I want new laptop, I want new email account, and so on. And third is that they want that we will keep our services running. So if they go down, they want that we will put them back to working condition. So these three kind of services users usually want from IT department or IT service provider. Okay, then for service providers, so there are, according to ITIL, there are three types of service providers. And the first one is internal service provider, who is providing services to one internal business unit. So there might be, for instance, in hospitals, there might be a small service provider who is providing services for things like X-rays and ultrasound imaging and that sort of thing. So there's only one internal specific unit that you're providing services. So these are the type one. Oh, sorry. And then there is type two, which is a shared service provider. And typical, these kind of services are like accounting or human resources or IT services. So those services are provided internally to multiple different business units or internal customers. And then we have this external one, and that is providing services only for external customers, so not internal at all. So these three kind of different service providers ITIL recognizes. Okay, then to IT services. So what are IT services? So first of all, everything we do is for customers. Okay, so let's change this to red one. So here's customer. And what customer actually wants to achieve is up here. So for instance here, and that is called customer outcome. So what customer actually wants? Customer wants that, this is an example from insurance company, and they are handling claims for payments. For instance, like, okay, I broke my leg, I want to you to compensate my whatever I had to pay for to doctors. Yes. So here this organization wants to achieve that 95% of all the claims would be handled in 2 days. So that's the outcome, what they want. And to achieve that, they have a claim handling process. And to be able to speed it up, so to speak, they have a claim handling software. And that is the first IT service here. So that's the IT service. And that IT service requires things like server capacity, data centers, networks, applications, and so on. So just switch here. So those things are located here in IT assets. And if you remember from last time, there were a lot of processes, and then there were four functions. And these functions here, like service desk, or technical management, or IT operations management, they are managing those IT assets we have. For instance, application management is managing our applications, which we use to produce those services, like claim handling software, which again is helping customer to speed up their processes, and eventually it will increase their outcome, what they are trying to achieve with IT services. Great. Let's move forward. So this is, let's say, maybe the most important for you if you are going to continue in any business where you are using or providing IT services. So we are talking about contracts and agreements. And these are version 3 things. So in version 4, they are a little bit different, but not much. And let's start from up again. So here we have, here we have customer up here. And customers have service level requests. So they want something like, I want to have service desk 24/7 with 1 hour reaction time. So that's what they want. Okay, so they provide us, service providers, they provide us requests. Okay, and then we negotiate with customer. And finally, when we have an agreement, then we are creating this, what we call SLA. And this is the most commonly used term in IT, I would say. So what is the SLA? Well, as the name suggests, it's just an agreement about our service level. It can be, for instance, I said that, okay, customer wants 24/7 service desk, and we say it costs this much. They say, okay, we don't want that. We want only 8 hours for 5 days in a week. So then we agree that that's our service, what we are providing to you. And we can agree on reaction times or resolution times or whatever. Or if this is an email service, we can agree that, okay, you will have 3 levels. You have a bronze, silver, and gold. And they have different sizes of mailboxes and these kind of things you can agree here. So that's service level agreement, and that is the most important agreement you are doing, whether you are a service provider or if you are using IT services provided by someone else. So this is where you agree what you will have and how much does it cost you. Okay. And if there are any deviations on that agreement, on that service level agreement, then usually providers has to compensate that. So if they can't manage that, they need to kind of compensate or pay you back if you are a customer. Okay, so then we have OLA or operational level agreement, what does that mean? Well, it means that if you are, for instance, providing IT services like, let's say, email service, you don't necessarily be able to do that by yourself, by only your department. So you might have, for instance, those technical management or IT operations management department who are providing you data center services. So if you need to, if you are selling 24/7 service, then your data center also needs to have 24/7 service available. So that's what you make here. So you agree with your internal organization or business unit that this is what we want. So it's pretty much the same as an SLA, and it's sometimes it's even called internal SLA. Yes, and then the last part is underpinning contract, or UC, or just contract. It has many names, same thing. And this is, again, similar agreement that you do, if you're a service provider, similar agreement what you do with your customer, but other way around. So someone else is providing new services. For instance, again, if you are providing email service, you usually need a network or internet connection there, and I think you won't be able to do that by yourself, so you are buying that from some operator. So you create an underpinning contract with the operator, and this also sometimes called external SLA. But anyway, these three types of agreements, and then one service level request object or thing. Okay, let's move forward. Then we go to service assets. And what are service assets? Well, they are assets are those things that you need to have. They were in the bottom of that one slide. I'll go backward here. So the bottom bar here, it's IT assets like servers, services, software, that sort of things. Those are IT assets. So there are two kinds of assets. So we have capabilities and resources. And the biggest distinction here might be that you can buy resources, but capabilities kind of matures over the time. So there's, for instance, management. What does that mean? It means that in the beginning, your management might not be so good, so to speak. And it kind of, they grow into their role or to the market better. Same with the organization. It starts as a small one. Maybe it's not very effective, but during the time, it will evolve better one. As is processes which you are using, and your knowledge increases. And people, actually, as you can see, there are people in both capabilities and resources. When we are talking about people in capabilities, it means their skills and that sort of things that which increases or grows during the time. Whereas in resources, when we are talking about people, we mean that for service desk we need to have a certain skill set. We have to have a certain number of people there. So that way this means that you can buy them, not buy people, well, you can do that in at least in Finland, that's illegal, but you can hire people. So that's what it means. Capital, you can buy money by lending money from banks or venture capitalists or whatever. And then you need to have your infrastructure. You can buy applications and you can buy information. You can buy knowledge because it's inside people's heads, so to speak, but you can buy information like market research and that kind of things. But anyway, these are service assets. And with those capabilities, you actually coordinate resources, you control resources, you deploy resources. So that's also distinction between these two. Okay, so next we go, one of the most important thing in ideal, which is a value. So how value is created and how ideal sees that. So in ideal, value equals utility plus warranty. So both have to be there. It both utility of the service and warranty of the service. And there are also, for utility, you can use phrase, is it fit for purpose? And the warranty, is it fit for use? And the utility part, so there can be two things. So it either increases or supports your performance, the service you are buying, or it removes some constraints. For instance, if you are buying that internet connection, it removes constraint from you so that you don't have to do it by yourself, for instance. And then warranty. So is it fit for use? So is it available enough? If there's enough capacity, is there enough continuity? Or is it continuity is enough? Or is it secure enough? And I've used here, as an example, I've used a screwdriver and hammer. So for utility part, if you have screws, which one would be better tool for that? Would it be a hammer or a screwdriver? Well, obviously, because they are screws, the screwdriver is better. So that is the utility part. So it removes the constraint that I can't screw those screws without this service. Okay, so let's buy that screwdriver. Then about availability, so fit for use. So I have a screwdriver, but if I don't know where it is, it's not available to me, so it doesn't provide me any value, right? So it was a good fit for use, fit for purpose. It does what it should do, but it's not available. It doesn't provide me any value. Okay, but now if I know where it is, it provides me value. Okay, and now if I only need to screw one screw a year, then the screwdriver would be great. But what if I need to put up Cuprock plates all around my house, like I need to screw, let's say, 1,000 screws per day? So in that case, the screwdriver wouldn't be anymore. It wouldn't have enough capacity. So I would need to have some power drill or something like that to do that. Okay, continuity. If that's battery operated, is the battery enough? Does it have enough capacity? So if I have to reload the battery every 20 minutes or so, it's not very, the continuity of that service is not very good. Okay. And the security, if I always get an electric shock when I'm using that, it's not very secure. So every these things have to be present so that it would create me value. So it has to be good for the purpose, screwdriver for screws and hammer for nails, and then fit for use. So it has to be available, it has to have enough capacity to do that, it has to be continuously available and operating, and it has to be secure. So that's how value is defined. But also, it's not written here, but one very important view on ITIL is also that even though this would be okay, still the acceptations or perception are very important factor when customer is defining value. For instance, if we are selling cars and we have a ladder, which is a Soviet car from 80s and early 90s, we are selling those, but people just like more BMWs, then the ladder doesn't provide any value to them. They want to have that BMW. So even though it's a fit for purpose and it's fit for use, if the customer just doesn't like that, it won't buy it. Okay? So value is not so easy to define, and at least not easy to provide to customers. Okay. So last but not least, service management roles in ITIL. So service owner is accountable for that service. So let's use again that email service as an example. So this is a kind of guy who is getting investments to that and is accountable for that, that the service is successful. Now, in order to provide services, you also need some supporting processes, like for instance that service desk who is, or it might have a service desk related processes that are required for providing that service. That if customers have something wrong, they can call them and they will fix it. And each of those processes has also owner who is accountable for that process. And that same process can be used to provide multiple services. And then there's a process manager who is responsible for the process. So for instance, the guy who is running some of service desk processes is responsible for that there's enough capacity, so I mean enough people in those times that those people are needed there. So that is kind of that guy. So if the process is not good, who is fired? The process owner. If service is not good, service owner is fired. So this kind of a thumb rule you can use. And then we have process practitioner who is actually doing those things that are defined in process. For instance, if there's someone who's working in process which is doing backups. This is the guy who does those backups. Yes, so four roles. And these are roles, and you can also think these as a hats, which means that you can have one person who is wearing all the hats. Or there can be two people who are wearing, one is like service owner, that's one hat, and another one could have those all remaining three ones. So, but it depends on the organization. But in small organizations, people are having multiple roles typically, but in larger one there might be one for each. But again, it depends on the size of the organization. Okay, but that was that key terminology of ITIL and key concepts. And thank you for attending.